Park Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
Well, hello and welcome to the Earth Riot Radio here at the Earth Church in the East Village, New York. I'm Reverend Billy. We are about to tour in England. We have 7 shows there and 3 what we call actions. And we have a theme that is coming to us. And it's not a theme that's unusual for us with our background here in New York with immigration rights and our defense of all of life. Humans and more than humans. In England, the incarceration of people struggling for peace, for the earth, as well as for peace in the Mideast, the incarceration is extreme. You've got nonviolent actions that are politically and morally motivated, and you've got 3, 4, or 5 years in prison. And they don't have a First Amendment in England. Maybe some of the other protections that we have here, where you can always appeal an unjust, if you get an unusual, a violent judge, you can appeal and sometimes make everything better by establishing a positive case for a particular point of view, for your peaceful point of view. The courts in England, I might find out differently when I go there, but right now, from this distance across the Atlantic Ocean, I'm finding they are arbitrary, that people are going to jail for years because they haven't broken a law, they've broken a tradition. They've broken an idea of what being polite is, or an idea of convenience. Well, Earthaluya, so we're talking about incarceration, laws, freedom. We're just gonna roam around and look for the question, look for the point of inquiry here. And perhaps this will help you as well. Earthaluya, here we go. Earthaluya.
Earthaluya. Earthaluya. Earthaluya.
Ah! wanted to start a movement with the firm belief that life is sacred, which is a fair position to take, and is firmly reflected in Emma's court statement, which we heard earlier. And we know that the government's own environment agency earlier this year confirmed in a press release named Adapt or Die that lives are at stake and that the government agencies will not be able to protect communities. So how much clearer can you get than the government's own agencies saying they will be unable to protect citizens from risk to life, which has been caused by their political failure? The state is failing to prevent the destruction and the deaths of its own citizens and making press releases to that effect already. We also know that when we take to the streets, when we obstruct, when we cause disruption, that we have our Article 10 human rights, which confirm that we have a right to choose the way in which we express ourselves. And if we don't act in ways which cause some amount of disruption in the public space, then we fail to create such long-standing debate from the protest, which we so badly need to hold in the public conversation. So in Extinction Rebellion, there's been many court cases, as you know, but there have been several now where there's been juries to hold the people on trial, unlike the Insulate Britain folks with the injunction cases. There have been people who've faced a trial by peers, and some of those have been acquitted by those juries. One case was the Shell 7. They were acquitted by a majority of a jury, although they disrupted the entrance to the Shell headquarters and used glue and paint and committed some amount of criminal damage. And just the other day, we've seen a group of people who climbed on top of the DLR train in 2019, a group that we were calling the Canaries, and they were successfully acquitted at the end of last week by a jury trial, which apparently only took about an hour to make that decision. So it seems that the jury felt very certain very quickly that that was the correct course of action for those activists. A lot of this relates in the more recent case to the Ziegler ruling. So you may or may not be aware that earlier this year, the Supreme Court made a judgment on a case called named Ziegler ruling, which found that somebody who locked on outside an arms fair or on a road close to an arms fair had reasonable access to their own right to protest, which meant that obstructing that road for the amount of time that they were there was justified and proportionate given the beliefs of the individual and the fact that their action was seeking to protect and preserve life. On the other hand, obviously, we've got James Brown, who has thankfully recently been released from prison. And the judge that sent him to a year's custodial sentence was claiming that he wasn't really he wasn't going to be allowed to use a necessity argument as a defence in court.
And we remember the Pelicans who were killed in the Gulf of Mexico. The Great Australian Open Bay is a famous nursery for whales. They propose 4 oil wells, which will go deeper than the deepwater horizon. 1/6 of all living things are on schedule to disappear. We need to change how we live. BP.
BP.
Giving money.
Giving money.
To the British Museum.
To the British Museum.
To sponsor.
To sponsor.
A memorial.
A memorial.
Of civilization.
Of civilization.
That the company.
That the company.
Is actively killing.
Is actively killing.
Doesn't go together.
Is absurd.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We've got to admit that something is happening in this world that we've not been addressing. There's a hurricane in every state of the union. There are 50 hurricanes right now in the United States. That's right, 50. There's a hurricane in every state, in every county of the United States. There are 74,000 counties in the United States. In every county in the United States, there is a tornado. There are 74,000 tornadoes in the United States right now. In every city and every town of the United States, there is unusual, deadly, awful weather. There are extinct animals biting the children. There is an apocalypse in operation right now. The apocalypse has arrived finally. And what are we doing about it? And then we'll see vast numbers of extinct animals rushing towards us. The ghosts of extinct animals. They want to consume us. They want to eat us alive. They want to eat our souls. They want to burrow under our skin and make us explode. And here they come. And we'll say, "My God, honey. What are we going to do? We better run. We better go back into that. Let's go back to that movie theater. I think the next blockbuster is about to start." And we run back to the movie theater. We run back into the movie theater. And we, like, get our ticket. We run back in there. We get our popcorn. And we sit down. Thank God. We're safe.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Hurricane Helene dumped more than 40 trillion gallons of rain on the southern U.S. after it crashed ashore in Florida as a deadly, potent Category 4 storm. The amount of rainfall is enough to fill Lake Tahoe with its depth of 1,645 feet and surface area of 191 square miles. Or perhaps to fill 60 million Olympic-sized swimming pools. Or it could fill the Dallas Cowboys' 80,000-seat stadium 51,000 times over. It's an astronomical amount of precipitation, said Ed Clark, head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Water Center. I have not seen something in my 25 years of working at the Weather Service that is this geographically large of an extent and the sheer volume of water that fell from the sky. Clark said the estimate of 40 trillion gallons was, if anything, conservative. Also, if that amount of water had fallen in the parched western states, it would have been enough to fill Lake Powell and Lake Mead twice over. The Supreme Court declined to block the Biden administration's limits on planet-warming methane from oil and gas production and toxic pollution from coal plants. The High Court denied requests from red states and the industry to temporarily halt the EPA's regulations. It did not explain its reasons for doing so, and no dissents were noted. The decision leaves two key rules in effect while cases against them play out in lower courts. The methane rule requires oil and gas wells to control leaks of methane, a greenhouse gas that is more than 28 times as powerful as carbon dioxide and is the main component of natural gas. The pollution rule requires coal plants to emit less lead and arsenic, among other toxic substances. Two dairy workers in California have been infected with the state's first human cases of bird flu. Both cases were found at different locations in the Central Valley region, and there is no known link or contact between the two. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the lack of a known connection suggests the workers were directly infected by dairy cows. Both workers experienced mild symptoms, including conjunctivitis, and neither reported respiratory symptoms. Neither worker was hospitalized. A surprising amount and variety of gamma radiation is produced in large tropical thunderstorms. Researchers have known for several decades that thunderstorms can act as miniature particle accelerators that produce antimatter, gamma rays, and other nuclear phenomena. But they did not know how common the phenomenon was. In extensive observations taken by a retrofitted U-2 spy plane, they've discovered essentially all large thunderstorms produce gamma rays in many dynamic, unexpected, and unknown ways. Many storms seem to have enough energy to produce a low-level simmering of gamma radiation, though what prevents it from creating an explosive burst is still not clear. Scientists found at least two other types of short gamma radiation bursts that had never been seen before. One is incredibly short, less than a thousandth of a second, while the other is a sequence of about 10 individual bursts that repeat over the course of about a tenth of a second. When injured, the comb jelly can fuse together with another comb jelly and even share some bodily functions. 9 out of 10 experiments show that comb jellies successfully fused after injury and were able to survive in their fused state for the 3 weeks they were kept in a holding tank. In that time, they developed shared bodily functions, including synchronized muscle contractions. The fused jellies also had merged digestive tracts that kept the whole blob sufficiently fed. That two comb jellies had little issue becoming one was clear to see. And as for how it was possible, it could come down to a sort of lack of self-awareness. Findings suggest that tenophores may lack a system for allorecognition, or the ability to distinguish between self and others. Using the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope, astronomers have discovered an exoplanet orbiting Barnard's star, the closest single star to our sun. On this newly discovered exoplanet, which has at least half the mass of Venus, a year lasts just over 3 Earth days. Recent observations also hint at the existence of 3 more exoplanet candidates in various orbits around the star. Located just 6 light-years away, Barnard's star is the 2nd closest stellar system after Alpha Centauri's 3-star group and the closest individual star to us. In a new study published in Current Biology, researchers revealed that geckos use the saccule, a part of the inner ear traditionally associated with maintaining balance and body positioning, to detect low-frequency vibrations. According to researchers, this special sixth sense also plays a complementary role to the gecko's normal hearing and the way they sense the world around them. The team believes that this previously unrecognized hearing mechanism may be present in other reptilian species as well. A lot of snakes and lizards were thought to be mute or deaf, in the sense that they do not vocalize sounds or hear sounds well, but it turns out they could potentially be communicating via vibrational signals using this sensory pathway instead, which really changes the way scientists have thought about reptile perception overall. Palladium, a rare metallic element, can rapidly generate water from hydrogen and oxygen. Researchers have witnessed this process at the nanoscale for the first time with an electron microscope. By viewing the process with extreme precision, researchers discovered how to optimize it to generate water at a faster rate. The process could be used to generate water on demand in arid environments, including on other planets. A team of Earth scientists from all over the world have determined that the 1950s marked the start of the Anthropocene. The rationale for proposing to define an Anthropocene epoch starting around 1950 came from overwhelming evidence that many of the most consequential changes of the human age shifted upward dramatically about that time in a so-called Great Acceleration, when human activity dramatically increased. This included population growth, deforestation, and fossil fuel use. Vegetation cover across the Antarctic Peninsula has increased more than tenfold over the last four decades. The Antarctic Peninsula, like many polar regions, is warming faster than the global average, with extreme heat events in Antarctica becoming more common. The area of vegetation cover across the peninsula increased from less than 1 square kilometer in 1986 to almost 12 square kilometers by 2021. And now, the sounds of extinction, the impacts of war on biodiversity in Gaza. Data collected by Palestinian environmental organizations and international researchers show that species populations in Gaza have suffered dramatic declines. Birds such as the Eurasian hoopoe and turtle doves, once abundant in the area, are now considered endangered due to habitat destruction and environmental degradation. Small mammals like foxes and porcupines, already endangered due to human encroachment, have seen their numbers dwindle to critically low levels. Gaza faces severe water crises due to repeated bombardments. This has left not only people, but also animals without access to clean drinking water. According to UN reports, about 97% of Gaza's fresh water is undrinkable due to contamination by sewage, agricultural runoff, and seawater intrusion. Fish populations in the Mediterranean off the coast of Gaza have been severely affected by toxic runoff and increased chemical pollution. Local fishing communities report catching fish that are undersized or showing signs of disease, indicating that the war's impact reaches even beneath the water's surface. Farmers in Gaza report the deaths of thousands of cattle, goats, and sheep due to lack of clean drinking water and food supplies. Studies find alarming levels of toxic substances such as lead, mercury, and depleted uranium in the air after prolonged fighting. These chemicals settle into the soil and water, affecting both wildlife and plant life. Birds, in particular, are highly vulnerable to air pollution. The endangered Palestinian sunbird, a small but vibrant species native to the region, is now rarely seen. Other species, such as the Arabian gazelle, have all but disappeared from the region. And hear now the sound of the Palestinian sunbird.
Reverend Billy back again. Hello. Time to say so long. Some thank yous and credits here. Well, Claire Farrell from Extinction Rebellion in London talking to us about British style justice, or lack thereof, for the protesters who stopped soccer matches and billiards championships and traffic. And James Brown, Claire mentioned, will be sainted by us in London when we're at the Newington Green Unitarian Church on the 26th of this month, October. You're welcome to be with us if you're in the London town. And James Brown stood on the top of the back of a jetliner in Heathrow Airport. It was parked there, helped up ladders by XR people. And, well, James is blind. And up standing there, up there on that, on the top of that jet, James, created a message for his daughter, who will inherit the misdeeds of British Petroleum and these climate criminals that are under attack all the time by London activists who are really leaders. And we're grateful to them for the risk they take, and they're so articulate about what they're doing. Thank you, Claire Farrell, for explaining it to us. What really comes from her interview today is that jury trials are the way to go, not an angry old male judge. Here in the United States, when that happens, when we have a jury trial, the people that are complaining about the plastics company and the herbicide companies like Bayer and Monsanto, when they are listening to the information that comes from the defendants in a trial or from the plaintiffs in a lawsuit, they are pure. That's pure democracy. They're hearing, they're getting the information about the polluters. And they often let the people go and thank them. Well, and I want to thank the Fiery Eagles of Justice, that combo that did the 50 Hurricanes piece. A hurricane in every state, a tornado in every county. Has certainly come to that, hasn't it? That's a prophetic piece. It was created a few years ago. And the Gaza Sunbird. Good luck with your endangered status in Gaza. Whoa! Savitri, thank you for the news from the natural world. Thank you to all of you, all the 77 radio stations that are broadcasting us. Thank you to all of you listening to us here today on Earth Riot Radio. We'll be giving you our next shows from London during our fabulous unknown tour. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We just feel gratitude. That's a good forgiving, gentle, loving emotion, isn't it? I feel that today. Somebody give me an earth-alleluia.